Well, this week you are going to be seeing a lot of revisiting, a lot of analysis as we hit 5 years. Man, I can't believe it's been 5 years since we all woke up on Memorial Day 2020 and saw that video. That video is still the Darnella Frazier's video is still, I think, in most people's mind, the indelible image of a police officer sitting on George Floyd, kneeling. And that image has, in many ways, and that trial has changed Minnesota, has changed discussions about policing for good and for bad. And we thought it would be worthwhile to have Joe Tamburino in. Joe and I spent just about every day together during trial of Derek Chauvin, which is why, and I want to start with this, Joe. Joe's a criminal defense attorney, legal analyst. On TV, I always had to say not involved in the George Floyd case and Derek Chauvin case. There has been such a shift, and time changes people's memories. But there has been a shift, which I find interesting, especially police officers, I think, at the time were very much against Derek Chauvin. And today, 5 years later, I don't know if politics affects it or if there's resentment in the way that officers have been treated in that time. But I find a lot more officer openness to defending Derek Chauvin, which, man, you remember 5 years ago, it was hard to find anyone willing to really defend. And we saw all the evidence, which I think a lot of the internet commenters today are not. But are you surprised that there's been such a sort of refashioning of the way people think about this?
Well, thanks for having me on, Jason. No, I'm not surprised for this one reason, which is that the Chauvin trial happened so quickly, such close proximity to the murder, to Mr. Floyd's death. I mean, that was on a rocket docket. We talked about it, too, when the trial happened. I mean, the judge at the time, Judge Cahill, denied any type of change of venue and denied all the continuances. It literally is almost unheard of to have such a trial of that magnitude happen within basically 10 months of the incident. So, you know, because of how almost rushed it was, now that you have 5 years looking on it, of course, you're going to get varying opinions. Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been a different trial if the venue was changed or if, you know, you gave it a couple of years. Most murder cases in Hennepin County especially, they don't go to trial for a good 2 years.
So that this was so fast, obviously emotions around it. I mean, you have to bear in mind that trial was going on at the same time in Brooklyn Center, another man was killed at the hand of a police officer. I don't whether you want to say it was certainly an accident, whether it rose to the level of negligence, I don't know, but shouldn't have happened. So
that happened.
You had all that going on at the same time as this trial.
At the same time as the trial, and you also had that the trial was still happening within the COVID time period, because as you know, there was social distancing of all the jurors. Everybody had to wear masks. You know, it was just a different period of time. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Have your views changed at all?
No. I mean, I still think Mr. Chauvin was guilty of the manslaughter. I never thought he was guilty of the second degree murder only because there were some legal issues with that. But of the manslaughter, yes. No, my views haven't changed with that.
Joe Tamburino with us. I think, you know, it's interesting because I analyze my own views and my views on this haven't changed either, that I do think I was at the time surprised that the other officers who were on the scene were charged so aggressively. And I remain, you know, I do think they were, well, some of them pled guilty, which I wonder if they wish they could have taken that back and had a trial. But I do think that especially the two new officers.
Right.
I don't think justice was served by those prosecutions. Now, I do think they probably were technically guilty of the charges, but this is where prosecutor kind of discretion comes into play. And some of my thoughts about, I wish we had a better way to handle incidents involving police in our legal system. because we try to wedge them into other statutes that are meant for people who are actual criminals.
Right. And you know, and I agree with part of that, which is that, you know, the other officers, I thought, you know, looking back on it especially, should not have been charged. And you can tell that, you know, the state, after they charged them, obviously didn't put a lot of stock into the charges because they gave them pretty good deals.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they said, okay, at the end of the day, even though your co-defendant got 22 and a half years, we're going to give you all 3 years. And that always tells you something from the prosecution side. When a prosecutor who's already obtained a conviction for the co-defendant and he's getting more than 20 years says to the other co-defendants, mm-hmm. well, even though before I said this is all very serious and we're going to go for the max that we can, we're going to offer you 3 years. So, you know, that's always a telltale sign that something's going on.
Joe Tamburino is with us. There is a new Supreme Court ruling that talks about excessive force, which is very relevant to this, and really a lot of the national cases that capture everyone's attention. What can you tell us about that new ruling?
Well, the new case basically says this, that when a police officer is going to use specifically deadly force, it can't just be the immediate threat. You have to look at the totality of circumstances. So it clarifies that. But what it does also say is it says that the officer at the time can look back on the history of the person that they're dealing with. Mm. So if all of a sudden an officer sees someone on the street that the officer believes he's had run-ins before, he's fought with me before, I know this guy fights with the police, I know this guy is high most of the time, he could use that in his factoring as to when to use force. Yes. So that new
case makes sense because that's how an officer would be analyzing a situation.
Sure.
There's no evidence in the Chauvin Floyd case that they
No, relevant. There's no evidence whatsoever in that.
But sure makes sense to me, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when an officer approaches someone and who's, you know, acting, you know, say in a, you know, in a criminal manner, and the officer's already had some type of run-ins with him before, of course it gets factored into it with the totality of circumstances.
I want to ask you what would happen if there is a pardon. There's been so much conversation about this. We don't, there's also been no real evidence that this is coming. But if Donald Trump, the president, should pardon Derek Chauvin, which he could, be well within his right to do it. Man, I think it'd be unfortunate to light this place. You know, you want to reignite, sort of take us back to where we were 5 years ago. I think that might have the potential for that. But if he did that, Derek Chauvin's not getting out of jail.
No, it's not going to affect much. Right now, Chauvin is in custody with the federal authorities till 2037, approximately. And if the president pardoned him, he would still be in custody with the state authorities till 2035. So you would shave basically 2 years off of his sentence. I don't know why the president would pardon him, especially right now, because Chauvin still has two motions before the federal court. You know, in federal court, he pled guilty.
Right.
And he got his, you know, 23 years there. But right now he has two active motions. One is he's saying vacate my plea of guilty because I had ineffective assistance of counsel for a number of reasons. And the second motion he has, which actually he's been winning so far, is we want to re-examine certain physical pieces of evidence of Mr. Floyd. And the government, the U.S. Attorney's Office, has objected to that. But so far, the federal court in St. Paul has said yes. The defense can examine that. So his case is technically still active in the federal system.
Yeah, so why would you?
I don't see the reason for it.
Stand by. I know you have some thoughts on the Diddy trial. I want to get to that.
Sure.
And lots of texts coming in. If you guys have questions for Joe Tamburino that you want to raise, go ahead. Fire it up. 651-461-9226. Drive Time coming back in just a minute. So when I was in New York, I did go by the federal court, where they had it all barricaded off for the massive throngs of media, the courthouse all locked down because of the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. You've been watching this as much as you can, right?
As much as you can, yeah.
Joe Tamburino is our guest today. You know, these federal cases are not, there's no televised, there's no audio, it's
right.
just old-fashioned note-taking, right?
That's right, and that's basically because of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He despised cameras in the courtroom, And the way the system is set up, I don't even know if within our lifetime they'll have cameras in the federal courthouse. But if you were going to, you'd want to be on this case. There is no doubt about that.
Oh, my goodness. The drama here and the celebrity aspect, but right? It obviously just disturbing and salacious and horrifying. And does he have a lane in here to kind of get away with this?
It's very small. So basically what he's arguing is this. He's saying, I'm not a great guy. I'm an abuser. I've done this. I've done that. But I'm not operating a RICO type of situation. And here's what the government has to prove. They have to prove that basically his enterprise was a criminal enterprise, that he did at least two predicate acts, it's called, of RICO acts that cross state lines. What are those? Those are things like human trafficking, prostitution, extortion, drugs, whatever it is. And in most, 99% of RICO cases, it involves a conspiracy. He's not charged with a co-conspirator. Now, the government can show that he worked in concert with others without those others having been charged, but it's a tougher road to go down. Mm-hmm. So I think the evidence against him is, for the most part, extremely strong. But the prosecutor at some point in this trial has to get the RICO aspect in to show that, look, he was doing a criminal enterprise so he could bring in prostitutes, bring in strippers, bring in drugs, whatever it is, cross state lines. And that's why it's all under RICO, the Racketeering Influence Corruption Organization.
Being a pervert and being a swinger is not a crime.
No, no. Just being that is not. Well, it depends how you define
pervert.
Depends how
you do it, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. But
I mean, if obviously you're using prostitutes, underage, of course, yes, you're going to violate a whole host of laws.
But just being, if it's all consensual.
Right. That's right. Now,
I'm not trying to defend this. Right. I mean, this is pretty disgusting. And there's a ton of evidence to indicate that there was, that he was threatening people, that they were being kept silent, all of this. So,
well, and what this gets down to is this. It's that fine line when you have celebrity or people in power where they can pressure someone without saying, do this or I'll kill you. Do this or I'll do something like that. It's almost implied, the coercion. Now, Cassie testified very well against Combs. I mean, she was a powerful witness. But what the defense is going to keep arguing is, look, no matter what he did, he never put a gun to anybody's head.
Kid Cudi testified. I mean, this is the A-list of the A-list, all of these people who are part of some of this stuff. Crazy.
Yeah. And that, you know, and other people are going to be coming out of the woodwork. I mean, you know, we hear all these things about Justin Bieber. I have no idea if he's going to be a witness in the trial or not. But there's, you know, such a trail behind Diddy Combs, such a trail.
Joe, we're out of time. We appreciate it. We'll have you back soon. 5 years. So much has changed since that moment. The murder, and I do call it a murder. He was found guilty of murder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know people don't like that. He didn't murder. Well, there's a trial. Murder is, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it.
CBS, thank you.
CBS News coming up. We will have the latest on this lawsuit. High school softball players filing lawsuit against the state for allowing a trans player